0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend of League and Cup action. Hearts, Aberdeen, Celtic all through to the Scottish Cup semis, and will be joined by either Livingston or St Johnstone. Rangers, of course, as we all know, no Cup action, but gearing up for Thursday's visit of Jose Mourinho and Fenerbahce. And Derby week starts right here. Brendan Rodgers saying Rangers stole Celtic's game last time and is out to put things right on Sunday. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna.
Well, a home win for Hearts on Friday night, a home win for Aberdeen Saturday, a home win for Celtic yesterday. Will it be a home win tonight for Marvin's old Livy team ahead of this Scottish Cup semi-final draw later? And will it be a home win for Barry Ferguson over Jose Mourinho on Thursday?
Yep. Big week coming up. Like you said, there's a good weekend of Scottish Cup action. Roger said it there about Livingston. Hopefully they can get the win. They're speaking about the finances that brings as well. No, there's some really good games, some really good goals that we'll speak about in a minute. And as Roger said, it all builds up to the big one on Sunday.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need, as always. So please do give us a call tonight. Let us know what you're thinking. What did you take away from the weekend? What were the standout moments from the cup ties, Celtic fans? What is the word you would use to describe that? Is that routine? Is that the dictionary definition of a routine cup win? Hibs had beaten you previously, 2-0, a goal semi-early, a goal late on, just round it off, no fuss, no hassle. What did you take away from yesterday? Adam Ida hasn't had a lot of game time, but he did come on and score an important goal. Look, McCowan again impressing off the bench. What did you take away from the game against Hibs yesterday? Give us your preview thoughts ahead of the cup draw tonight. Maybe you can predict it. It's a bit easier when there's only four possibilities left, but give us your thoughts on who you want to get in the cup semi-finals. Rangers fans, yes, it's Monday and the game is not until Thursday, but I think already we can get some early thoughts in ahead of Jose Mourinho and Fenerbahce. So Leon Balogun did an interview with him today, speaking about the special one, having some tricks up his sleeve for Thursday night. So what are your early thoughts there? And if you think that Monday is too early to build up for a derby game on Sunday, then you must be new to Scottish football, because this is nothing by our standards. So the earliest of thoughts ahead of that one, do get them in. Rangers fans, your players will be talking nonsense about taking one game at a time. We know that doesn't exist on here. So how do you feel about the package deal? The double whammy of Fenerbahce and then Celtic. Derby week does start here. We'll give it the big build up. So give us a call, please, on 0141 951 1025. There's a Scotland squad tomorrow as well. So maybe later on in the show, I quite like that. You come on here, you'll throw in a random name for us that you think's got an outside chance of being included, and then you look like the smartest person around if that decision is backed up by Steve Clarke tomorrow. So any thoughts on the Scotland squad? Who'll be back? Who'll be out? Give us the lot. 0141 951 1025. Right, whet the appetite then. Not as many games as normal, but what was your result of the weekend?
Well, producer John asked me to go for Falkirk, therefore I'm going to go for Celtic. I think sometimes when Celtic and Rangers win at home, remember the days Rangers win at home, we sort of overlook it. But this was a Hibs side that had beaten them a couple of weeks ago. It was a Hibs side in their best run since 1949. And it could have been the banana skin for Celtic, and they handled it very well. Dyson Maida, Adam Ida at the end. They're in the cup semi-final draw tonight.
Okay, might tell you there weren't a lot of choices out there for result of the weekend, but who am I to criticise Roger Hanna's choice? What are you going for, Marvin?
I think he might criticise mine. I'm going for Morton, 2-1 win.
Now that's a shout.
Yeah, but home to air. No, a massive game for them. Is one of those that if they had lost and they're looking over their shoulders, now they've won that game, they can start going after Partick Thistle. I was actually away with Dougie and Stephen Whitaker. So, you know, there's a nice build-up to that game. And, you know, I'm happy that Dougie's won it. So, yeah, I'm going for Morton. 2-1 win.
Okay, goal of the weekend. I know there weren't that many games, but I think you had some good options here.
Quite like Kevin Nisbet's goal. The first one for Aberdeen Saturday at lunchtime against Queen's Park. Really well-worked corner on the left-hand side. Cheeky wee flick in the near post. And you mentioned the Scotland squad. Too late for them to get back in? Don't know.
Or too early?
Or too late.
I'll see what you mean.
Or too early.
Is it too early for him, or is the goal too late? I see what you mean. Depends which way you go at it. Marvin, goal of the weekend for
you? Cartoon is his second one.
Okay, yeah. Not his first.
No, listen, the first one he nearly repeated again in the second half. Yeah. I think if you're likely to ask him which one do you think you could do again, it would be the first one. Listen, both brilliant, brilliant goals, but the second one for me, that the turn and then driving forward and then hitting it with the outside of his foot, you know, with that kind of accuracy and power, you know, I think it would take some beat in that goal. So I'm going for his second one.
And the best part of it as well is, never mind the two goals, never mind the fact that you get man of the match, it's a great name for headlines.
Oh, tremendous.
What more do we want in the tabloids?
And the Hearts fans will be liking him. Is he an early Jamestown analytics gem, perhaps?
Well, I think the one they were really claiming credit for was Elton Cabango, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. He did all the analytics and he came over from USG in Belgium. I'm not quite sure. Cantum's a bit older, isn't he? Think slightly older, but certainly he looks as if he's going to be a valuable addition.
Okay. Where does that leave us? Howler of the weekend. I'm not sure you had loads to go on, so I'm interested to see what you'll come up with.
Well, what about a gentleman? No, assuming it is a gentleman.
Why are you assuming that?
In charge of the Clyde Twitter admin. I think he's in a very difficult few days. He's been mocked by a few other League Two teams. There's a suggestion he's emigrated to Australia. And the most, you know, interesting thing was when I discussed this earlier on with Gordon DL, he asked me, what's a PS5?
Was that him that told you that the OnlyFans model in question had actually... has now tweeted Clyde's statement about the full misunderstanding. Did you notice that? Someone told me.
Actually took me back to that time, Marvin. I'm not sure if you remember when Daz first went on. Was it Instagram? He only had followed
Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And he had many, many followers, as you can imagine. Very popular man, yeah. Gordondale. He only followed one person, Katie Price.
And we discovered his old burner account.
No way. Yeah.
Anyway, enough about that. Man. Do you have a howler to match the Clyde Twitter admin?
I don't, but I'm going for Bonnie Rigg. Bottom of the league now in League Two. Two players sent off. 94th minute goal conceded against Edinburgh City. And it's been a real, real tough time for them recently. So I'm not picking one individual. I'm just going for the whole team.
Okay. Right, that's about us, I think. No, we don't. Top man. Do we still have that top man, top performer?
Well, he's been mentioned. It has to be Sander Khartoum, doesn't it? Two goals, a really good performance, and a big week for Hearts. They needed that after the Edinburgh Derby defeat, and they've now got Ross County at home on Saturday. They need a win there if they're going to get top six, Gordon.
And I'm going for Graham Shinney. 600th appearance, you know, playing at left back, scores a goal, you know, had a brilliant career, still going ever so strong as well, still at the top of all the things I'm being told by Nicky in terms of the running and everything else. Puts it in every single day. So yeah, listen, a magnificent milestone.
And a great interview from him in the newspapers on Saturday morning, again discussing all the medical, all the health issues he's overcome to get to 600 games. So he deserved his day and his goal on Saturday.
Fair enough. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Celtic fans, what did you learn? Did you learn anything from the game against Hibs? It was on paper very straightforward, but you must have taken something away from it. What are your hopes for the semi-final draw a bit later on this evening? Rangers fans, I know you would have much rather been involved in cup action, but maybe a bit more time, a bit of rest, whatever it is, a bit of time to try and add to the game plan that worked so well in Istanbul. What are your early thoughts there? And your even earlier thoughts, please, ahead of Celtic against Rangers with a healthy away support on Sunday. Come on down, 0141 951 1025. I have to say, before we take some calls, a real special moment tonight for me personally to see you two together.
Oh, honestly.
Because of course, for anyone who missed the show last Wednesday, Marvin tends to be in on a Wednesday. I just forgot that he was unavailable, and so there was just an empty seat. It's the first time ever, I think, that it was Jim Duffy and no one else, and Roger Hanna answered the call. We tried every other pundit first. Hugh Keevans, even he knocked us back. But Roger Hanna works in town, not too far away, and he came. And you were for the evening, Marvin Bartley.
I was. And you won't know this, Marv, but producer Jay, who does all this hilarious stuff on social media, did Gordon and I up later on as Batman and Robin.
Oh, no, I've seen that.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, tremendous.
Well, the postscript to that the weekend is somebody sent me a Batman outfit.
Oh, nice.
And they were looking for me to wear it in the show tonight. But you do need to draw a line. So I thank Stuart McLean very much indeed for the gesture, but I'm afraid I can't be wearing that.
That sounds
tonight.
Like a stretch too far. Anyway, 01419511025. Did I text you straight away when this debacle happened? What? How did it? Because where were you again?
I was in Geneva.
Oh, Geneva.
So,
that's right.
So yeah, I looked at my phone.
On your What is it?
Pro license. Pro license. Yeah. Coming towards the end of that. So we're all sitting around and you've messaged me and I've looked at my phone. And as soon as you've messaged, I've known what it's about before I've even opened it. So we actually got the show on. So you had people from the Lithuanian FA, you had, honestly, Hungarian FA, people from everywhere, probably not knowing what the hell was going on, all crowded around this laptop as we're talking about what happened. And yeah, it panned out. We saw Jim by himself. I was delighted, I'll be honest. I was delighted you'd messed up.
A disaster. But
that's a howling of the week.
Yeah,
that's true, actually. Yeah,
should have been
true.
Down.
We go again. Anyway, John is on the line to kick us off. Take it away, John.
Hi guys, how you doing, Roger?
Hi, John.
For the Celtic fan, we condole to the young Rangers fan killed in Istanbul. Very, very tragic news. So it was very sad.
Well said, John.
What I was saying to the boy there, I watched the game yesterday, and fair play to the Hibs fans as well. They made it a right good spectacle. They were brilliant. But I just thought Roger and Marv, Jeffrey Sloop, is turning into an absolute some signing for Celtic. And I think this is why they need to get him in the summer. I know he's 33, but he's quite an imposing player. And obviously when Kieran comes back as well, obviously he'll maybe slot to left back. But obviously Kieran Tierney can play left centre back too. So I think it's a no-brainer for Brendan to go for this guy. So what do you think?
Yeah, listen, you told me where Kieran could play. I saw him play left wing for Arsenal in the last 10 or 15 minutes at Old Trafford yesterday, so he's certainly flexible. He's been terrific, Sloop. I saw him score that goal at St Mirren Park a couple of weeks ago. He's settled in brilliantly. He's had a good career. He's a good player. He's been in English Premier League for a decade. If Celtic want to sign him next season, it would make perfect sense. You know, Greg Taylor will leave the club. Alec Vise already gone. Burnaby's already gone, etc. So I think they will need quality, experienced competition for Kieran Tierney next season, because there still remain doubts about how many games Kieran will manage. You know, he hasn't played huge numbers of games in the last three or four seasons. You know, you look at Callum McGregor regularly plays 50 or 60 games a season for Celtic. I don't think Kieran will be up to that next season. So having Jeffrey Sloop there as an alternative or a stand-in makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a no-brainer. He actually nearly scored yesterday as well, cutting on his right foot, and it went just wide of the post. I think he'll only get better as well. He's not played that much football this season, and anyone will tell you he's been a professional footballer. It normally takes you 10 or 15 games to get yourself going, so I think he's probably going to peak as the season comes to an end this season. I think Brendan will want to make it a permanent. I think now he's came up and seen Celtic Football Club, he'll want to make it a permanent. I don't think finances will be a problem. And as Roger said there, you know, with Kieran Tierney coming in, you know, if you're just speaking about his quality, Schlupp might say, you know, I don't want to sit behind him for the whole season. But there is that massive question mark over how many games he can play. So, yeah, I think for all parties, it'd make perfect sense.
Do you think Jeffrey Schlupp would be up for it, John, to come and be potentially second fiddle to Kieran Tierney?
I think, you know, yeah, I think so, because obviously he wasn't really doing much end down at Crystal Palace there. So I think he would be up for it. It just feels as if he's been here for years. He seems to have just fit into the way we're playing, you know what I mean? And as Marv said, he only scored a good one yesterday with his right foot. You know what I mean? He seems just to have settled in perfect.
He's also one, John, that can play one on. Mm-hmm. You know, he could play in that. I was kidding on about Kieran playing left wing, but Jeffrey Sloop can go and play left wing. Or he could even come in to the left of the three in midfield. You know, if Hatate wasn't playing in a game, he could play in there. He's got that flexibility, he's got the quality on the ball, he's just an all-round good player.
Always hard to guess how other people feel about things.
Yeah.
But what do you think his thought process will be? So as an example, right now I'm going to make a pretty safe guess that Celtic won't pay what he's on right now, mm-hmm, at Crystal Palace. But what would his next offer look like? Is he in a scenario where maybe a, I don't know, 50% wage cut, mm-hmm, come up to Celtic, try and win some things, try and play in Europe again? What are the alternative options for him, do you think? Could he go to the English Championship? What would be the barrier?
He'll definitely have options in the English Championship, if not, you know, maybe teams a little bit lower down in the Premier League than Crystal Palace. So probably somebody coming up as well, if Burnley came up, etc. I think they'll try and sign him. But you've mentioned it there, Gordon. I don't think finance would be a problem for him. If he's had that career that he's had, and he's been sensible with his money to come up to Celtic, you know, he would never play for a club as big as that. And like I said, the option of winning things as a footballer, there's nothing better than that. So he's going to see it this season when they go on to win the league, potentially win the Scottish Cup as well. I think that really whet his appetite, and it'll probably be the last thing that he wants to do now to really kick on. He's 33 years of age. For me, it's not about money. It's about winning things and being at a massive club, and he has all of those things at Celtic.
And he got his appetite whetted against Bayern Munich. You know, he won't have played. Yes, winning trophies is great, mm-hmm. but going out and taking on Harry Kane and Musiala yep. and these guys, you know, at this age after
that's
the career,
mind blowing for him.
Yeah, where does all this leave Greg Taylor? Is this, are we now really seeing?
Did you not ask him in the maternity ward? No,
listen, we kept it strictly personal when I met him twice in the maternity ward. We didn't go professional, which I was quite pleased at. Shows you some things are more important than football, Roger.
Very true.
An old newspaper man like yourself would have been trying to get the inside scoop, but I was
in his Batman outfit,
that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. In that context. But are we seeing this all play out quite quickly now, where the involvement?
Yeah, 100%.
As an example, did Jeffrey Schlipp play at the weekend, Willie, against Rangers?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Greg Taylor has done very well at Celtic. Greg Taylor, to be fair to him, has probably had a better Celtic career than I thought he might have had when he first signed from Kilmarnock. Didn't cost a lot of money, untested, really, at that level. I think he's done really well. He's got a dozen or so Scotland caps. He's had a good career.
He's seen off a number of left-backs.
But Kieran Tierney coming back, and potentially Jeffrey Schlupp, will see off Greg Taylor. He'll go with the club's best wishes. There won't be any bad feeling, and he will pitch up maybe at the top end of the English Championship, mm-hmm. or maybe overseas. You know, it was talk of Dinamo Zagreb. I think it was talk of the United States as well, going to the MLS. He'll get a good deal somewhere.
Yeah, and deserved as well. I think he's been really, really good for Celtic, and he always seems to be one of those players when things don't go right, the few and far times between them happening at Celtic, it's always, you know, Greg Taylor. But for me, I think he's been fantastic. I know he's a brilliant professional off the pitch. You know, he's unbelievable for Celtic. And I agree with Roger. If I was him, you know, potentially going over to the MLS would make sense for him.
Because is it almost accelerating because the contract hasn't been signed? So therefore, it's easier, the right word? To put it this way, had Greg Taylor decided to sign that contract 6 months ago, five months ago, is he playing more football now? Or did the managers not think of it that way?
I'm not sure managers think of it that way. Just purely in terms of form, I think Jeffrey Schlupp is in better form than Greg Taylor. So he's probably getting picked on merit. I'm not sure mm-hmm. Brendan Rodgers is looking beyond now. Yeah. I don't think he's thinking, well, if I pick Jeffrey Schlupp, he might stay for next season. We know Greg's leaving anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's just out in the fact that mm-hmm. Schlupp's playing better than Taylor.
I suppose what I mean is, though, Marvin, that this perception, you know, in the eyes of the fans is if, well, that's that. Whereas mm-hmm. if Greg Taylor still had 2 years left, that there's nothing to say that he wouldn't in time, you know, force his way back in and be the number one. But it's almost like the perception is that's that chapter now coming to an end. Rightly or wrongly.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. You know, I think that's the way maybe Greg will see it as well. I think when he didn't start away at Bayern Munich, I think that would have hit him hard. You know, speak about as people think footballers are robots and they're not. So I think that would have been a real difficult one for him to take. As you said, his contract's coming to an end. There's all the speaker, Kieran Tierney, when we heard it, players would have known about that a long time before. And the international teammates, I'm sure those discussions would have happened. So for Greg Taylor, I think he knew his time was up at Celtic and he's never kind of, you know, not tried his utmost, but now listen, he is out of form. Schlupp is playing ahead of him, but yeah, I just think that it's the right time for him to move on for both player and club.
Where can he go, Marv? You know, some of his best friends in football, Ryan Christie, Christopher Ayer, Stuart Armstrong, have gone down into the Premier League. Could he go bottom half Premier League?
I think it'd have to be a system that suits him. I think when you look at Greg Taylor as an out-and-out left-back, it probably doesn't suit him. I think being that inverted one really does work for him, so it all depends on the way the team plays. I personally think you'll see him, like you say, pitch up in the MLS or somewhere abroad, try something different. You know, even be simple, always go to Serie A. You know, Scottish players have a real high kind of people look at them over there. So I think he could potentially go across there, but yeah, not
Ronnie,
a
Ronnie Dyland, Kenny Mullen at Atlanta.
Oh, there you go. That's starting a rumour.
Thank you to John on the line, 01419511025. Great time to call. We will get you on next.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
So your ex delivered Judith Ralston's twins?
I think so, yeah.
How have we got to this point in the podcast?
I don't know.
First we sat here on a Monday saying that Barry Ferguson outmanaged Jose Mourinho. I mean, I never thought I'd ever say those words. Cole, now that you're 6 points clear, I'm going to ask you this question. Have you been practising in front of the mirror lifting a trophy?
I expect that from him on the side of you, no you.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel or get it where you get your podcasts now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley is here, so is Roger Hanna, and they're asking you to get in touch. Whether you want to look back on the weekend, tell us what you made of the cup ties or any of the championship action. We can look ahead a bit to Thursday night, look even further ahead to Sunday and the big game at Celtic Park, or anything else that tickles your fancy. Let's do it. Thomas is next up from East Kilbride. How are you, Thomas?
I'm doing fine. Yourself, panel?
Yeah, not bad. Right, not bad at all. Mate. What made you call tonight?
What it is, what Brendan says about the comment about the game coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I want to know what the panel think about that.
Oh, do you know what? Actually, I think we could play it just in case anyone hasn't heard it. So Brendan Rodgers spoke after the game against Hibs yesterday. Of course he spoke about that game, but naturally people were keen to hear what he thought looking ahead. So this was his comments on the Rangers game that Thomas is referring to.
Listen, we were well beat on the day. Rangers stole our game that day. That's normally how we play and how we do, but they took it from us and deserved the win. But we will be ready for the demands of that game. I said before, I'd never had the team really like that in any of those games. So the demands that are needed to play in that game, we will be ready for them next week. I think when I analyse Rangers, I see the team that is still doing what they've done all season. Been very good in Europe, probably a wee bit inconsistent domestically. But strengths of the team is in counter-attack. It's not in the teams camped in and connecting the game. And so we have to be mindful of that. Barry will come with passion and professionalism and wanting to make a result here. But I do as well. So it'll be a great game. We'll look forward to it. And as I said, when it arrives, it'll be brilliant.
What did you make of it, Thomas? What made you ask the question to the guys, if you don't mind me asking first?
No, because Rangers dominated us at Ibrox, and just I think Brendan's going to make a point to say, right, we've got these at Parkhead, this is what we're going to date you as.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Roger, when you listen to it back, and it's a great soundbite, it's a great headline. They stole the game from us, and it's all very that sounds quite sort of, I don't know, you know, confrontational. But I think when you listen to the way he explains it, he's basically saying they played the way we wanted to play.
Yeah, and listen, I covered the game for Super Scoreboard on the 2nd of January, and Brendan Rodgers came in, and sometimes managers come in after a defeat and they try and sort of sugarcoat it a little bit. They try and find excuses. They try and find something that's going to rationalise the fact that they lost the game. And Brendan did none of those things. Brendan immediately said, Rangers were a better team. They deserved to win. It's as poor a performance as I can remember neither of my spells as Celtic manager. And he basically held his hands up. He had no excuses. He couldn't rationalise it. And I have a feeling that will be gnawing away at him. They just got a win yesterday, which allowed them to avenge the defeat at Easter Road a couple of weeks ago and get that out of their system. And they'll be desperate. They'll be desperate to do the same on Sunday and to show that the events of the 2nd of January when they lost 3-0 at Ibrox was, you know, just the kind of hiccup in their season.
What did you make of those comments, Marvin?
Yeah, I thought he was very respectful in terms of what he was saying. I agree with Roger. He'd be very, very annoyed at that defeat and the way that it came about as well. We spoke about Rangers on the counter-attack, so something they're going to have to be wary of, because you expect Celtic, you know, at Celtic Park to dominate the ball. But also in transitions, they have to be aware of what Rangers can do. So listen, his players will be more than fired up for that game. I definitely think they'll be watching bits back of what happened in the last game against Rangers to really fire his players up. But as a manager, you can tell that, you know, all eyes are firmly fixed on Sunday's game and he expects his team to go out there and perform.
Do you think, does that stuff matter to you, Thomas? Because I suppose whatever happens at the weekend, Celtic will go and win the league. But you think it's important to try and put right what happened in the last game?
Well, I think Celtic should do make a point about Rangers. But we get cuffed at Ibrox, but I think Brendan's going to say, right, he's going to get the boys fired up and he's going to go right at them first whistle.
I think these are the things that you almost have to lean on a bit more when you are so far ahead. So, you know, like that absolute necessity to win the game because it could win you the league isn't there for Celtic. So maybe you just give it 10% more.
You know something? It's almost there though, Gordon. I mean, they are within touching distance. If they win the game,
it's not a league decider, though.
No, but the league could be decided the following week, because I think the Celtic play Hearts at home and Rangers go to, I'm trying to think, Dens Park maybe. if Rangers were to lose at Dens and Celtic beat Hearts, Celtic have won the league. So it's getting tangibly close for Brendan Rodgers. I know the point you're making that, you know, they need to fire, get something to motivate them, that, but avenging the win would motivate them, but the players themselves will know how close they are to winning another title.
I think that's what I'm saying, Marvel. I don't expect that to be the sole motivation. I just mean you use it a touch more than you otherwise might have. You know, once you almost get so close to your goals, you set new goals, don't you? Yeah. Or you use different things to even if it's a, I don't know, a 5% edge.
Yeah, it might be a small thing that he does try to lean on, but you know, if you play for Celtic, then beating Rangers is one of the main things that the fans want to happen, and you know, vice versa from Rangers' point of view as well. But listen, as you said, if you play for Celtic, you need to be fired up to play against Rangers, then you know something's wrong, and you shouldn't be at the football club. And I think that's what Brendan will be saying to them. Listen, they beat us last time, they stole our game. Make sure that does not happen again. Does not happen twice in the season. Does not happen twice in a row. All of these small things, like you said, if it would have been a title decided, like you said, he could have, you know, lent on that a little bit more. But yeah, listen, they'll be more than fired up for it, as will Rangers come Sunday.
Thank you very much to Thomas on the line. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers after that win against Hibs. Goals from, of course, Daizen Maeda, who's quite inevitable at the moment, and Adam Ida sealing things late on.
Yeah, no, we're very good in the game, probably apart from a little spell in the second half. But I thought our compactness and control in the game was really, really good. And the keeper makes some really good saves. We just had a wee spell in the second half where we, maybe for 10, 12 minutes, where we just loosened our passing and didn't quite connect the game. So that gives them a little bit of impetus, but no, when I look through the course of the game, we were very good, and we have to be, because against a team that's high in confidence, we wanted to control it, their system, how they play. We have to move them, so we've got to get it side to side to penetrate, to work them. Their keeper makes some brilliant saves, but overall I thought we were thoroughly deserving to get to the semi-final.
You sometimes get a feeling for the games at the weekend, the way they go. Does that require huge analysis on the Monday night? And I just wonder if it was of such a sort of straightforward nature for Celtic. There wasn't even a great deal of any controversy, really. Everything about it just seemed quite simple. Is that fair, or has that been disrespectful?
No, it's not really been disrespectful at all. I said it at the top of the show, you know, the Friday, Saturday and Sunday Scottish Cup quarterfinals were all a wee bit like that. I know Dundee did get an equaliser at one stage at Tynecastle on Friday night, but Hearts were quickly back ahead and quickly get the third goal. Aberdeen were never under threat. Celtic were never under threat. I think it says a lot about Celtic that they did put away Hibernian with such, you know, little fuss. This is a good Hibs team. You know, as we say, I think it's the best run, it was say 1949. Hugh Keevans did the quotes in the last game. So, you know, it wasn't straightforward, but it turned out to be straightforward, if you know what I mean. So I really don't think we should take anything away from Celtic's performance, and I certainly don't think we should take anything away from Daizen Maeda. 27 goals for the season now, and a front runner for player of the year.
How would you sum it up, Marvin? Mr. Hibs, as Roger said, came in great form and great expectation and big fan base. Could they have done more? Did Celtic just keep them at arm's length? What was it like?
Yeah, I think from his point of view, it's one of those games that looked like his were just worried about, you know, how many Celtic could potentially beat them by. And you just want to stay in the game and hang on and potentially get something on the counter-attack, which they nearly did. Schmeichel, I think, was the only shot on target. Schmeichel had to, you know, parry away. From Celtic's point of view, you know, I think they were in full control. It was one of those games, as Brendan said there was a few slack passes and, you know, the ball going off that you don't normally see from them. I think Engels did it a couple of times, Tate did it as well, but they really were in full control. And Hibs went there, by the way, Gordon, believing, definitely from a player's point of view, that they could go there and give Celtic a bloody nose. Yes, they needed a little bit of luck, they knew they both had their A game, Celtic would win, but the fact they had beaten them, you know, not that long ago, they thought they could go to Celtic Park and potentially get something out of it. And I spoke about this before, about the mentality at Celtic. They just get on with things. They just do what they need to do. And if they'd have gone and won that game 4-0, we wouldn't have been sitting here saying it was, you know, Hibs were unlucky, they didn't deserve that scoreline. Celtic, for me, were in full control of that game. Outside, as Brendan said there, a few slack passes.
Okay, Gus is next up on the line. How's it going, Gus?
Very well, thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure. What made you call?
Basically, I was reading the story over the last couple of weeks about Diogo, and he's out of favour with his current club. The manager that signed him got sacked 3 days after him. He's not played 90 minutes, not the time he's been there. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, and Celtic would make an approach to get him again. I don't think they should. But he's definitely going to be up for sale in the summer. What's your thoughts and where do you think he may end up?
Wow, we do some mad stuff in football, but the guy left a month ago, Marvin. Can you see
it? That, no. Gus, what makes you think he'll be up for sale in the summer?
Well, he hasn't played 90 minutes under his current manager. Mm. He's out of favour. There's people in front of him. And if he's not played 90 minutes in the time he's been there, what's the chances of him ever going to get a game?
Yeah, I think... The way the team are playing now, they're struggling a bit, aren't they? So the manager might be, you know, just trying to stay in games rather than, you know, he might be able to get his own players in next season and sees Kyogo as a key part of that. I get what you're saying. I don't think he'll be up for sale. And I also don't think, you know, there'd be any chance of Celtic bringing him back either. You know, he had a long time at Celtic, which he did really, really well. You know, he spoke about loving the club and the fans definitely loved him, scored some vital goals, you know, scored a lot of goals as well. But I think it's just one of those things that, you know, both club and player have gone their separate ways now. And, you know, I'd be very, very surprised if we were to see him, you know, ever again in the Celtic shirt.
Even just generally, Roger, for any player in this situation, I don't know how that would work. If you're Ren and you've bought him for 10 million, do you sell him 6 months later? And if so, for what price? You know, what price? Well,
you very seldom see things like that happening, Gordon, as you know, as I was saying to Jota and Kieran Tierney the other day, you very seldom see players, big name players, leave for a lot of money and then come back to the football
club.
Not
within 6 months, though.
Oh, well, Jota wasn't much longer, was he? Listen, I can't see it happening. I think that you have to feel sorry for Kyogo in so much as, you know, he's signed by one manager who then gets sacked and another manager comes in and the other manager will, you know, make his own decisions and players. I think Kyogo's got the quality that he'll get into the Ren team at some stage. They're having a difficult season. They've changed manager. He's moved to a new country, to a new league, to a new culture. Inevitably, it takes time for players to settle in. But I think his quality will come through at Ren eventually.
Would he get a game up front for Celtic at the moment?
Yes.
Ahead of Maida?
No.
Maida has to go wide. Kyogo at his best?
No. But he hasn't been at his best.
No,
Kyogo 3 years ago, yeah.
Look, you have to look at him not just over, you know, the last 3 months of him being at Celtic, over his whole Celtic career.
What about this, though, that the manager of Japan, who's been getting slaughtered by the Scottish media for 3 or 4 years because he picks Maida up front ahead of Kyogo?
But that's
he'll
the way
be
they
laughing
play.
Down his sleeve at us now.
That's just the way they play. Listen, he comes back to Celtic.
If he suddenly rocked up tonight,
on the bench,
who would start the Rangers game up front?
Kyogo.
Would he?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kyogo.
No chance.
Jota on the left, Maida on the right.
Oh, come there on now.
Kyogo is playing.
No chance.
Yes.
No chance.
Why do I want to kick you under this chair?
You're forgetting I've got superhero power.
Well, if you want to referee these two, then by all means. But thanks to Gus for bringing it up. That's a nice little debate made up out of nothing. 01419511025. Call us now. We'll get you on next.
Oh, my God.
Cash Dash.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Yes, it is that time of the night where I tell you about the extremely life-changing amounts of money you can win. We're up at £450,000. £450,000. Text YES to 61025. Text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on the website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. The lines close 5 p.m. on Friday, so make sure you text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna here. 0141 951 1025 for you to join them, or Twitter at Clyde SSB if you would rather send your written greetings to the guys. We're looking back on the cup from the weekend. Still one tie to go. Marvin Bartley's former team Livingston at home to St Johnstone tonight. So who will join Celtic Aberdeen Hearts in the semis, and what will the makeup be? The draw, I believe, after that game this evening. So plenty to look forward to. Let's go back onto the phones and bring in Sean. Take it away, Sean.
Gordon, one thing I would like to say, I congratulate you for having another kid. So,
oh, thank you.
Congratulations to the panel. Good night to you. God bless you. Right? What I was going to say to the panel, right, especially Roger. Roger, like, he's a bit like Hugh Keevans to me. Roger.
Same age. None taken.
Sorry, pal. If Rangers win Europa League, is Barry the man for Rangers? And if Rangers don't win Europa League, do you think they'll spec, like, if this goes through the 49 Enterprise, do you think they'll bring in somebody like Rafa Benitez, or do you think they will go down the route a manager we don't know about yet?
Well, to answer your question, Sean, if Rangers win the Europa League, they'll give Barry Ferguson a 5-year contract and build a statue of him outside the main stand. That's what it would mean. I mean, Rangers have won one European competition in 150 years. So it would be a monumental achievement. Giovanni van Bronckhorst was so close to it 3 years ago in that shootout against Eintracht in Seville. But for any Scottish team to win a European competition is phenomenal. There is no way Rangers could countenance not giving the job to Barry Ferguson if they won the Europa League.
You agree with that, Sean?
Well, if Barry wins the Europa League, I don't think I'm 100%. I don't think you could no give him the job. I love Barry Ferguson. I think he was one of my best favourite players growing up. So if Barry got the job, even if Rangers didn't win the Europa League, I wouldn't be upset. But I think if Rangers get taken over, it's 92% got to happen. I think Enterprises could bring in somebody called different. I don't think it'll be a Rangers connection, Gordon.
92% is extremely specific on the chances of it happening. That is the problem with this, I think, Marvin. So we're hanging Barry Ferguson's chances on will he win the Europa League, which is very difficult, but also a long way off. Even if he does, how are you supposed to accurately predict if that happens? And then secondly, there is supposed to be a transformational takeover in terms of, and by, I'm not saying transformational in terms of success, of course the Rangers fans hope that's what it'll be, but it'll be massive boardroom change, completely different. So how are you supposed to know who they would like?
Yeah, listen, I think they'll have a list of managers if they are to take over the club, like we're led to believe, that they want to bring to the football club. But I also agree with what Roger's saying there. If Barry Ferguson goes on to win it, then he will be given the job. There's no doubt about it, whether he's on their list at this moment in time or not. It's actually funny that, you know, Sean said about Rafa Benitez. He was one of the speakers when we were away on the pro licence last week.
Oh, and giving us an exclusive?
No, somebody did ask him, Rangers, because I think the rumour maybe came out when we were over there, and he just started laughing. So he didn't say, no, I wasn't going, or yes, I was going there. He just started laughing and carried on his way. So
hold on. How does this work, Roger? Rafa Benitez refuses to rule out Rangers' move.
Well, he's just writing it down now.
Dougie Emery said at the weekend, after the Morton's fortunate win against Ayr, that he's already tapped Rafa, and if he gets the job, Dougie's going in as his number two. So you've missed a trick. See? We were sitting down by the pool with Stephen Whittaker, yep, just chewing the fat, and he's away networking with Rafa Benitez.
Getting pictures.
You've missed out again.
How was Rafa Benitez as a guest speaker?
Honestly, brilliant.
Was he?
Do you know what? He's one of those people that, rightly or wrongly, I just always thought would be like a head teacher. Very matter of fact. Honestly, he was excellent and engaged with the whole room. And, you know, as soon as he started speaking and they listed what he had won and everything else, you know, if any club, you know, if Rangers could get him, or if Brendan wasn't at Celtic, and come to Scottish football, would be absolutely massive. So, yeah, really, really
fantastic.
Good guy.
And you imagine next season, so you've got Rafa Benitez coming to Rangers and Jose Mourinho coming to Celtic, because he says he wants to manage in Scotland.
Oh, imagine. Well, it could be Livingston he goes to if they get promoted.
So when Rafa Benitez laughed, what type of laugh was it? Was it like a yes laugh or a no laugh?
It was just a laugh. I just think to say, oh, who knows? Do you know what one thing he did say? Because of his style of football, it has stopped him getting jobs. He thinks because there's this massive high pressing thing, and because he's more defensive, you know, maybe people aren't looking at him as much. But listen, he's won so much. You know, I think at any club, in their right mind, would be delighted to have him.
Philip Clement wouldn't have liked that style. that defensive style, no, no.
Do you regret saying that?
Oh, for sure. I do you know what? I could not believe what I was listening to when he said that, by the way.
If you've been sacked, right, you're feeling pretty low as it is. And then only a couple of days later, you have to see one of the most recognisable managers in the world stick the boot in. You just think, oh, why did I bother?
If we can be fair to Josie, Josie wouldn't have stuck the boot in had it not been for Clyde Super Scoreboard's Andrew McLean.
Oh. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. That was a man who was desperate to get that off his chest.
You think he, on the way in, he said to Andrew, listen, just you ask me the question.
Well, think about it. He started off by going, I'm not going to speak about him. And then proceeded to very much speak about him.
He's maybe in a quiet word behind the scenes with Andrew.
Thank you to Sean on the line, throwing some big names around. Marvin giving us a somewhat of an insight into whether Rafa Benitez will or will not be the next Rangers manager. Is that doing it for you, Rangers fans? I hope on the forums right now and on Twitter they're saying Marvin Bartley just said on Super Scoreboard.
Surprising me.
That Rafa Benitez didn't rule out the possibility of being the next Rangers manager. Let's squeeze one more in, I think, before the news. Douglas is on. How are you, Douglas?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yourself?
Not bad, Douglas. What have you got for us?
It's just about the howler of the week. It's a bit of a belated howler of the week, to be honest with you.
Right. Did these two get it wrong?
No, it's actually yourself, Gordon.
Oh, no. What have I done?
I like this.
Nervous.
It's about losing your wedding ring in the gym and having the whole place turned upside down looking for the wedding ring.
Oh, I'd love to say that was the truth, I know.
Oh,
that's true. That's true, actually.
Douglas has been quiet about this.
Were you an eyewitness? Why did you not help me?
Surely, that was my wife that actually pointed it out. She saw
it.
She
did me a good turn.
So what happened?
Right, remember, there is part of a bigger picture here. This is the one I forgot to mention. No, I said to you. I've said, like, what did they say, that new mothers get like baby brain or whatever? Yeah. I'm starting to wonder if it can happen. So see, around the time, I'm not that calamitous an individual. I don't really do like daft things, I don't think. Within the space of a few days, on the way here, I filled up my car with fuel and drove away without paying for it. I forgot to book you on the show. And Douglas is right. So I always take my wedding ring off, not for the same reasons Gordon Deal does. And I usually tie it to my shorts. I just don't like the feeling. You know yourself, Marvin. Weightlifters like you and I, you don't like the feeling of it. So just tie it to my shorts. And hopefully Douglas is right. I was on the treadmill and then I heard something. And I looked and I thought, oh no, that's... And I was only... this is the bit that Mrs. Duncan probably doesn't know. I was only 5 minutes in to a 20-minute run. But I thought, I'll just finish my run. Because wherever it is, it'll still be there. I'm not going to stop my run. That's just disruptive. So
to
I thought,
your wedding ring.
And by the sound of it, Douglas's wife was on the treadmill next to me, and it was so embarrassing, honestly. So then the staff get involved. You know, you can make the treadmills incline.
Yeah.
So they've got them all on incline, and I'm down my hands and knees.
Did you go and report it to them that you'd lost it, or were you just trying to find it by
yourself?
I was
in the moment, I was kind of trying to find it, and then like a fuss started. I was making myself feel sick with embarrassment.
You get really warm and red as well.
So I'm down on my hands and knees.
Like now.
Other people are down on their hands and knees underneath the raised treadmills looking for it. And Douglas's wife goes, is that not over there? Way back, miles away from where we were looking.
At least you found it.
Mrs. Douglas, do you want to give her, what's her name? Give her a mention.
Nicola.
You're my hero, Nicola. Thank you very much. In fact, hold on. One other thing. It says on my screen, Douglas, you're a Motherwell fan.
Yeah, that was my other point.
So that means there are two of us in that area.
That's right.
That surprises me.
If I have a quick couple of minutes, just on, I'll be going in Saturday. You know, I think Vimmer's had a few weeks in the building now to get his ideas across and to get his team, you know, ready to charge on to the end of the season. So very confident that we'll get a top six finished, and I'm looking forward to the running to see what you can do.
Well, if anything will sharpen your focus ahead of the return to competitive action, it's a bounce game against Mark Wilson's well-drilled Partick Thistle team last week.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that was a good workout.
I think Motherwell won out of canter, didn't they?
It was a bit close. Mark Wilson said it was close. If I missed some sort of joke here, some sort of horse racing joke.
No. Just genuinely, it was all the Motherwell players who aren't really playing for Motherwell at the minute.
Mark Wilson seemed to be quite pleased.
There was a few changes to see the game
off.
He
said it was only 2-0, I'm sure.
I'm getting this from a Motherwell source.
Oh, Andy Halliday's talking rubbish. I believe Mark Wilson. Thank you very much to Douglas, whose wife found my wedding ring. Honestly, this show, you just can't escape it.
Nowhere to hide, mate.
Nowhere to hide, indeed. I was honestly disgusted with myself.
Today?
No, it was last week or something. It's got like, just what an idiot.
When you hear that noise as well, you just think, oh no.
Gordon Dale used to hear it twice a day.
On that note, let's play this.
the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a signed ball, but only if you can get past Marvin Bartley or Roger Hannah. You have until 7 o'clock, so give us a call quickly on 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hannah's here. Roger, what's happening?
It's been a really interesting break so far. I knew that was going to happen. As soon as Marvin gave me that Empire biscuit, I thought, I'm not going to have the time to eat this during this break.
Slow down, man. Trying to shove a full Empire biscuit in his mouth at the same time.
Honestly, I mean, you two were quick. I thought when you two ate yours there, I'm just a wee bit slower than you two.
Marvin Bartley revealed to us before the show, Roger Hannah very kindly brought in some Empire biscuits, that you had your first ever Empire biscuit last week. How does that work? Seriously,
I'm just not a massive, I just don't really appeal to me. I've always seen them and people eating them, it just don't appeal to me at all. And it was actually a Killy one. So well, shout out to Kilmarnock
Rugby Park ones.
Yeah, so, really good.
You never, when you were down south playing, you never did any of these, no? What was your, I mean, just trying to think, the look at apple pie.
So you not, because you do
ice cream or sticky toffee pudding.
Sticky toffee pudding.
No, but I have noticed this, because when we have snacks or anything in here, you never, your body's obviously a temple. Do you not eat anything like that?
Nah, not like biscuits or anything like that.
Chocolate.
Nah, don't like chocolate.
Crisps.
Nah, apple strudel's my thing. And I only worked out recently, by the way, for anyone who eats them, they'd obviously already know this, you can actually snap them in half. So I used to just cook the whole thing and eat half. Mate, honestly. So then I used to go back later on and just try and like nibble at the other half. And then I thought to myself the other day, just break it. So now,
did you have you always been like that, like model professional eat perfect?
No, my away games. I love a Friday night. Me and my roommate every single Friday when we were at Burnley used to have a burger and chips
before the game.
Yeah, on a Friday with a sticky toffee pudding. So we used to go up for the game at like
who was your,
like 8
who was your roommate?
Game. Charlie Austin. So he was a goal scorer, so he was all right. Mm-hmm.
Before the game.
Yeah, but listen, we're athletes.
In your defence, you don't look as if you had chips and burger.
He's eating their leftovers.
Charlie did.
Yeah, he used to carry it. But one day we, never forget it. I think it was away to Cardiff. He'll put me right. And we heard, so we used to take it in turns. We would go and get the door. So it was my turn this week. So obviously getting up, absolutely delighted. It's up it comes, burger, chips, sticky toffee pudding, the Coke. I used to have normal Coke. He used to have a Diet Coke. Open the door. Diet. Absolutely delighted, and it's Eddie Howe standing there with the tray. And it's literally just one of those that I'm just like, oh.
So he'd caught wind of your order and he delivered the meal.
So he just got it in his hands, and my Burnley career ended soon after that.
Caesar salad next week.
To be fair, we still ate it. It was lovely. That was our go-to.
Oh, so he let you have it?
Oh, yeah. Let us have it. He's like, oh, is this for you, is it? I actually think I was sub the next day, no joke.
Probably.
I think I was on the bench.
That sounds about...
That was the usual thing.
Though, where you would be. Anyway, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
As if it's not bad enough that he had to scramble here to replace you last week.
That was your fault.
He then played Beat the Pundit and lost.
Oh, I'm absolutely delighted.
On his minus two.
Absolutely delighted.
He lost on the tiebreaker.
Wow. He lured me under false pretenses. He said, if you come out and do Beat the Pundit, you can be minus one this week. Of course, I get here and it's minus
two.
Get you right back to the whole thing. Was a campaign.
Kenny's in Paisley. How are you, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Good, thanks. Is this your debut or are you experienced campaigner?
No, first time.
Good, okay. How do you usually fare at home?
Half and half, really. Half and half. Mm-hmm. Just as long as I don't get a zero tonight, we'll be fine.
Setting your bar nice and low, I like that. Well, it's a bit easier than normal because Andy Halliday's not here.
Well, Roger's
I'm doing all right.
All right, but not as good as Andy.
Nah.
But anyway.
He sounds relaxed, Kenny.
He does. Very relaxed. Heads, it will be Marvin. Tails, it will be Roger. Heads, Marvin, up against Kenny from Paisley. So what we'll do here is give Marvin some greatest hits radio, and that way he won't hear what's going on in here. Kenny, I know you've never played, but I'm sure you've heard it. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay, cool.
Right, let's go. Your 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Rangers manager gave Barry Ferguson his debut?
Dick Advocaat.
Who are the only Championship side left in the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
True or false, at the weekend there were more red cards than goals in League 2?
True.
Motherwell's Luke Armstrong is on loan from which club?
Pass.
Who was the last Canadian to play in the Scottish Cup final?
Celtic guys, pass.
Paul Hartley manages which SPFL side currently?
Guilty Hearts.
Okay, let's bring back Marvin Bartley. Can you hear us?
Yeah, what was that song, Roger?
That was Ashes to Ashes by David Bowie.
Bit too old, that. Not for you.
I did. That's the first time in a long time I've not enjoyed the song.
You never heard that song before?
Maybe just a part of the song. I would have turned that off, to be honest. That's really slow. Not for me, that, Roger. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, go on.
Speaking of slow, your 30 seconds starts now. Which Rangers manager gave Barry Ferguson his debut?
Dick Advocaat.
Who are the only Championship side left in the Scottish Cup?
Livingston.
True or false, at the weekend there were more red cards than goals in League 2. Motherwell's Luke Armstrong is on loan from which club?
Carlisle.
Who was the last Canadian to play in the Scottish Cup final?
Marcus Harbour.
Paul Hartley currently manages which SPFL side?
Cove.
Which former Celtic player tried to win an election in Honduran politics last week? Did he? It's news to me.
I can't think of his name.
Never mind.
Just pass.
Kenny, do you think you've got what you set out to achieve and avoided a zero?
Yeah.
Just by the sounds of Kenny's tone. I suppose he knows that on the first one you both said the same thing. Dick Advocaat. Roger, who gave Barry Ferguson his debut?
Walter Smith.
It was Walter Smith. Oh, none of you got it. Kenny's
buzzing with that.
Kenny's a Rangers fan as well, so he's really annoyed at himself. I can forgive you. Yeah. You were busy eating cheeseburger and whatever back in those days. The only Championship side left in the Scottish Cup. I mean, he's the former Livingston assistant manager. He was bound to get it, Kenny, but it was Livy. They play St Johnstone tonight, 1-0. Marvin, you were both correct. You said true. In League 2 at the weekend, don't know if you knew this, there were 6 red cards and 5 goals.
I saw that today. That's unbelievable. Incredible.
Never change Scottish football. In the same division which Clyde playing, of course.
And yeah,
their whole social media mishap at the weekend. So it was all happening in League 2. 2-1 to Marvin Bartley. Motherwell's Luke Armstrong is on loan from Carlisle. Well done. 3-1 Marvin Bartley. At least Kenny couldn't quite get the name out, but at least he knew the right guy.
Who does
that? The Canadian answer is so much easier.
Come on,
Alistair Johnston.
Oh, Johnston. Oh my.
You were thinking Marcus Haber, who used to play.
Was he Canadian?
I think he was, but did he even play in a cup final?
I have no idea. I just
always in Johnston.
Was he part of that 2014 final?
That's a ridiculous answer for me, by the way.
That's
bad. What was I going with that? But like I was playing
Kenny couldn't get it. But he
doesn't surprise me.
He couldn't get the name out.
That's part of it. I can get the name out either.
And he chucked in the towel by this point, Kenny. To be honest, it was Cove Rangers. So it's 4-1 Marvin. And the clue would be in the country. But I did not know this, Roger. Did this feature in your newspaper at any point? Honduran politics, did he? Is he trying to launch a political
career?
Was it
Emilio?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. There we go. Kenny, what can we say? You did reach your goals. You got one.
Yeah.
And that's what he said.
Yeah.
So it's important to set targets that are achievable.
And he got there.
And do it.
Yeah, right.
Kenny, who's laughing in the background?
What's that?
Who's laughing in the background?
Oh, my wife.
I can't believe he's done this in front of his wife. What's her name, Kenny?
Well, the dog in the car, so I hope it was my wife, Becca.
What's her name? We need to give her a mention.
Becca.
Becca, honestly. Becca, do not... You'd let this guy live it down. Seriously. Kenny, you're a Rangers fan, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
What are you thinking ahead of a big week?
Last week, if you'd said, there was also the point where the next three games were Fenerbahce twice and the Old Firm. I think most of us would have been happy kind of getting through with at least two draws in that. But I think, I know people will disagree, but Sunday I'm not really that bothered about. I think just get the job done. Thursday night, strangely a lot more confident than I am with Ferguson. I was with Clermont.
See that stuff about not that bothered on Sunday, because I totally get the logic of that. Will you still feel that way on Sunday morning? Explain the riot, how it works to me. Is that what people say early in the week, but actually when it comes round you will really care? Or do you honestly think that you could sort of distance yourself emotionally a bit from it, given that the league's pretty much gone?
I think even if we were to win, I think just celebrating is a bit embarrassing, isn't it? Like, we'll be winning to go 13 points behind. I think when Clermont, in fact, even before Clermont gone, everyone was saying the season's done. Obviously, beating them at Ibrox was a bonus, but I don't really see it, and I really think that if you kind of take away the whole bragging rights thing for the day, I think that the priority is definitely Thursday. I can see a few, maybe like Sterling coming in again on Sunday.
So you don't think this game can mean anything for like Barry Ferguson, that can't like go some way to winning him the job or anything?
No, not really. I think regardless of what he does, even if he was to win the Europa League, I can't really see him taking a job. I don't really think anyone would expect him to take the job. And
I think with this
takeover, I think we're all sort of looking for someone, someone with a name coming in. Obviously, like when Gerrard was here, players wanted to come and play for him. So I think that's the type of manager that we'll need. We'll kind of need into next season someone that kind of knows Britain well, or the Scottish leagues well, and has a name that people want to come and play for.
Good man, thank you, Kenny, and Becca and the dog and all the rest of it. It was good to meet you all on Beat the Pundit and then Talk Football. Thank you very much. 01419511025. The question about Emilio Izaguirre. So producer Jay sent me the article, and as of course from your newspaper, it says, you know, Celtic hero makes surprise move into politics. And you could just, I wouldn't dare criticise your publication, Roger, or your craft, but if you had asked me what the first line would be, I think I could have said a former Celtic fan favourite has decided to swap penalty boxes for ballot boxes. It had to be that, didn't it?
Who's bylines in that?
That's a good point. It's yours, actually, I think.
No, it isn't.
Penalty boxes for ballot boxes.
Come on, let's go up the top.
Will we give them a mention?
Yeah, yeah.
David Robson, online sports reporter.
Right, okay, yes.
What alternatives would there be to that? It's the only. It's just staring you right in the face.
Yeah, it's right there. We could have written that. Because half the fee.
Yeah. I'm always willing to take on raw young stuff. So listen, if you want to try.
Young. Yes, thanks.
I'm thinking, if you were to pick a position on the pitch that would have the least amount of involvement in penalty boxes, it would be Emilio Izaguirre. He probably just operates kind of in that bit in between, like outside them.
No, he'd need to defend. No. He's a defender. He need to defend his back post.
Celtic attack most of the time. We're going a bit literal on it, granted, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure we're swapping penalty boxes when it comes to Emilio Izaguirre.
Maybe.
No.
I'll take it up with David tomorrow.
What side of the political spectrum is he on? Could
he's going to be a left winger.
I was going to say, it could be something more, more along those lines.
You would think so.
Anyway, there's certain subjects you probably just stay away from on this show, and that's one of them. So 01419511025. Just speaking on the phone there about this week as a package, Roger, I've no doubt. In fact, I spoke to Leon Balogun today. I've no doubt various people inside the club will tell us that it's just kind of one game at a time and so on, but you can understand why some fans will still feel like it's a big week overall, even if the caller is saying actually don't care about Sunday.
Yeah. Well, he will come 25 past 12 Sunday lunchtime. Big picture, he's right though, because if Rangers were eliminated by Fenerbahce and then won at Parkhead, it wouldn't really make any difference to their season. If they get past Fenerbahce and lose at Parkhead, it could make a difference to their season. You know, it takes them into a Europa League quarter final. It's going to be a Roma or Athletic Bilbao. And suddenly you begin to think of the journey to Seville 3 years ago and the, you know, possibilities. I always think, you know, it's a last 16 tie. It seems an awful long way from the final back in Bilbao in May. But when that word final starts appearing, you know, quarter final, semi final, it begins to feel real.
What about in terms of Barry getting the job? If they were to, because I think people expected him to lose to Fenerbahce over the two legs when it first came out. I know they've got that lead now going into it. What happens if he was to lose Thursday, win Sunday? Do you think that puts him in a good position for it?
I genuinely don't know. And the reason I say that is because none of us really have any experience of 49ers enterprises and what they would do. The only sort of insight we've got is how they went about appointing Daniel Farke at Leeds United. And Gordon mentioned earlier when we were talking about Sander Khartoum and Kabangu at Hearts, it was a data-driven manager search that pulled Daniel Farke to Leeds. You know, they didn't go for the big name. They didn't go for the Gerrard or the Lampard or, you know, the Ashley Cole or the Joe Cole or something like that. They went through the data and got the guy they thought was best for the job. And I think that's what we'll do at Rangers as well.
Keep the calls coming. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. Let's bring in John, who's on the line. How are you, John?
I'm a little panel. My point is, I'm a Glasgow Rangers fan, right? Now, what I don't understand is, we're so poor in Scotland, right? Maybe that's the opposition of people in Scotland. But when we go to Europe, we're a different animal. And I fancy it's going to the final this year again.
What do you mean it's the opposition in Scotland?
Well, they sit back, didn't they?
All right,
They sit back. Europe, people come at you.
Yep, it's definitely the most common theory, and it has to carry some weight. I suppose it's just about how much we've spoken. We're now, because it's Rangers' fault in many ways, because they keep doing it. So you're forced to keep asking the question. This keeps coming up. Is it because of a low block? Can't break teams down? Is there a psychological element to it? Maybe a bit more of a freedom in Europe? Bound to be more than one thing, I suppose.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is Rangers' inability to break teams down when they do sit behind it. When they go into Europe, you know, it's the same for any Scottish team in Europe, that other nations, you know, the teams from there think they can beat them. So, Fenerbahce, for example, go into that game and you know, they think they can go at Rangers, and Rangers hit them on the transition. When you play against everyone domestically outside of Celtic, teams are going to try and frustrate Rangers, especially now they know that Rangers struggle with that, and then try and hit Rangers on a counter-attack. I think when you look at that Rangers set up, they're a counter-attacking team. So when they do have the ball, I think they run out of ideas. And that comes from when Clement was there as the manager, you know. He wasn't surprised. He shouldn't have been surprised that teams are going to have a low block. It was how they break that down. And for me, the players weren't working on it nearly enough, because every single attack was different. And some people might say out there, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, that's what you want to happen. It's not, because people are never on the same wavelength. They never know what's going to happen. When it gets into the final third, never know what run someone's going to make or what ball's going to be played. So I think that's why it's easier for them in Europe, because, you know, they spend more time without the ball and they counterattack extremely well, as we saw, you know, last Thursday.
So you're feeling confident, John? You reckon the final?
Ah, well, I believe everything comes in threes. I've been to two European finals, Manchester, Seville.
It's as good a logic as any, Roger. I cannot argue with that.
I think you're right, Gordon. I think it's psychological. There's no way you're telling me that players of the quality of Cherney and Hadji and Bajrami and Lawrence and these guys can't break a low block. You know, they've had careers doing that. It's psychological. When things go wrong, they go badly wrong. Think of the tail end of last season, you know, up at Dingwall and then Dundee, and everything went wrong and they just couldn't deal with it. They didn't have the mental fortitude to deal with it. This season, they had that dreadful run away from home and they couldn't break it, and they just couldn't seem to get anything right. Now they're having one of those runs at home. Queen's Park, don't score and lose. St Mirren, don't score and lose. Motherwell, 2-0 down before they wake up and they lose that game as well. They just don't. Domestically, when there's pressure, they can't deal with it. And actually, Europe, bizarrely, seems to be a sort of escape mechanism for them, if you like.
But a heck of a run this, though, because this one's at home. And remember, previously, all the issues were away from home domestically. So this run at Ibrox is going to go Queen's Park, St Mirren, Motherwell. If your fourth game in that sequence is a win against Jose Mourinho and Fenerbahce that takes you through in the Europa League, quite something to go from one extreme to the other.
Be absolutely massive. And I believe they'll go and win that game of football. I really, really do, because I think Fenerbahce will be exactly the same way. Fenerbahce defenders, to me, seem like they don't actually want to defend. And, you know, some of the play from Rangers going forward, when they don't have that much time to think about it, when they are counter-attacking, was breathtaking last week. And I expect them to do exactly the same thing again this Thursday. Like you said about the previous three games, though, they're always relying on somebody to give them a bit of magic. You know, that's always what it was. You see Celtic attacking, you know exactly what's going to happen. The underlap, you know, the ball's going to get into wide areas, etc., etc. You see Rangers going forward, you're relying on a Cherney or Igerman or Dessers or whoever to you know, produce a little bit of magic. When they're counter-attacking, they're a totally different animal, though, and I expect them to go and win that tough game on Thursday.
Well, John, we'll stay in touch. Let us know how the three theory works out. That was John in Sandy Hills on 01419511025. It's a great time to call, and we could get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here on 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. I do have a full time teaser for you. It's more of a recent memory test, I would put it down to something like that. But anyway, Fraser and Annie's Land sent it in, and thank you to Fraser for this one. The email address, if you want to send your teaser in and hear it used on the show, you need to send us one to fulltime@clyde1.com. Fire an email over. What's the worst that could happen? We'll take a look. And more often than not, we do manage to get them used on the show. So it's quite simple. Can you name the 7 different goal scorers from last season's Scottish Cup semi-finals? Can you name the 7 different goal scorers from last season's Scottish Cup semi-finals? Roger will scoosh these. So Marvin, have you got any? Don't look at Roger's paper. What is this, primary 3?
I was looking towards Roger. Kyogo.
No. Good wow. Start though.
I'm trying to think what last year's semi-finals were. It was a Rangers Celtic final, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Who did they beat in the semi-finals?
Hibs, didn't they? Hibs?
No.
No.
Aberdeen get beaten, didn't they?
Well, this is
one of the semis was a modern classic.
That was a 3-3 Celtic Aberdeen game.
Okay.
Last season.
Yes, Bojan Miovski.
Beautiful.
Have Aberdeen got their Miovski replacement in Odi Daba? Is it too early to say?
I think it's too early to say. He's certainly impressed so far. They've had sort of struggles up top this season after Miovski went. You know, Pap Guy started and they get 5 goals really quickly and was still their top scorer when he came back from injury. So there were a few issues. I'm not sure Peter Ambrose was ever really the answer. But Nisbet and Daba together might just work.
Yeah, listen, like you said earlier, Nisbet obviously getting that goal at the weekend, you know, will help kick him on definitely. And looks like he's getting fitter, by the way. I think that's the one thing that he struggled with when he first came up here. And listen, he's a striker at his best. Definitely for Aberdeen, he would help them and improve them. But yeah, listen, Miosky's, they're massive shoes to fill. And I think you needed, you know, 2 or 3 players to do it. I don't think you'd get one individual. I think he was a special player for Aberdeen, if I'm honest, when he was there.
Well, he's the answer to the teaser. So forget anything else in his career. That's him hit the high point. Bojan Miovski is one of the 7 different goal scorers from last season's cup semi-finals.
Jamie McGrath?
No.
Ooh.
Clarkson?
I think we've finally found a bit of a weakness from Roger Hanna. Just ask him things from last season. I think this is the type of question I would really toil with as well. Just
so who was the other semi? You giving us that? We had Celtic v Aberdeen was one. Who's the other one? Roger, Rangers v who?
Rangers beat Hearts.
Correct.
Shankland.
Rangers beat Hearts.
Was it James Tavernier?
No.
No.
It was not.
You said Dessers, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Dessers is this one.
Yeah.
Did we discuss that?
Oh, he's got daddy brain again. Yeah, I said Dessers, mate. But
I didn't answer you.
No, he's just ignored me. Looked straight through me.
That's okay. Cyril Dessers and Bojan Miovski. He scored both.
In a 2-0. So really the 6 scorers, 6 different scorers.
I shouldn't
scorers
have told you that so early.
6 different
now
scorers in a 3-3.
What, perfect.
I remember Ryan Duncan hit the post for Aberdeen, might have won it. Anyway, Joe Hart missed a penalty.
We can get back to it. We can get back to it. It's a straightforward question. Thanks to Fraser and Annie's Land. Stevens and Bishop Briggs, take it away, Stephen.
Yes, I was just want to know why Rangers are so good in Europe and they're so bad in domestic league.
Oh, do us a favour, go and Stephen, turn your radio off or whatever in the background. Hearing Roger.
It's on
a
TV.
Ah, right, okay. Just turn us down because hearing Roger Hanna once is bad enough.
I was thinking that man sounded like Roger.
You thought Stephen's mate sounded like Roger Hanna.
That's what I was thinking. I was like,
right, Stephen, so what are you about to tell us why Rangers are good in Europe and not domestically?
They're just rotten. Why are Rangers good in Europe and they're bad in the league and they're bad in the cups?
You tell us. What's your theory?
Because they're rotten.
That wouldn't explain why they're good in Europe, though, would it?
Rotten. I mean, come on. Who have they come up against in this Europa League, right? See the teams have played, have any of them won it? Ever?
I'm still struggling with the logic. You can't say because
Man United,
you can't say
Tottenham.
Rangers are, but Rangers are
Leon.
Rangers are good in Europe, but bad domestically because they're rotten. That doesn't explain why they get
Tottenham
decent results.
Played. Tottenham have been through the season with some 16 first team players injured, right? So if they had the first team players there, Rangers wouldn't have had a chance. They played a team. They played Manchester United, who are crap, right? Manchester United are struggling. Manchester United could win this cup, right, and go into the Champions League next season and be relegated.
Would you not concede though, Stephen? Right, because you're saying it right, and in your words, so Rangers are really struggling domestically, but to finish top eight in the Europa League, you know, that's a decent achievement, is it not? If we're being honest,
no. No, it's no.
I should have known the answer to that, to be fair.
The teams are playing. The teams are playing are crap.
Yeah, but the teams they played ended up finishing quite high up in the Europa League as well, didn't they? But
every team Celtic played in the Champions League have been known to win it. For I'm fed up with all these Rangers fans on here giving it, oh, we're crap, we shouldn't be in the Champions League. How no? Right? Rangers are punching above their weight, mate. Believe me, they're punching above their weight.
That's the whole point.
I watch them every week.
But that yes. So now, but I thought they were rotten, or are they punching above their weight? Which
they're
is it?
Rotten. Aye, they're punching above their weight because the teams that they're playing should be beating them. They're rotten.
Well, that's not punching above your weight, then, is it?
Right.
Is this not been going on a bit too long, though, Stephen? Look, because
not for far too many seasons. You should be relegated again.
But this is my point, right? Seeing a case by case basis, fine. You come up against a European opponent and you say, well, they had injuries, or this went for you, that went for you. Over the last, it's quite a number of seasons now. Rangers either getting some decent results or getting through to the latter stages, reaching a final. That can't all be luck, surely.
Well, they've been in many finals as Celtic has, right? It's all right getting to them, but you need to win them. They can't win them because they're rotten.
I've seen a real theme developing here, to be honest. So we're now holding it against Rangers because they can't win the Europa League. Roger, Hannah.
They're still there. I would imagine they would get past Fenerbahce. Whether or not they've got the quality to get past Roma or Athletic Bilbao, I think would be another question altogether. Domestically, I don't think they've got the players. They've got quality footballers who I think fall short of having the sort of, described it earlier, as mental fortitude to play for Rangers. When the going gets tough, a lot of them get going domestically. Europe, they just seem to be freed from all their demons, all their worries, all their woes. They play with a freedom. I thought it was a terrific performance in Fenerbahce. Jose Mourinho came out after the game and said, Fenerbahce were lucky it wasn't more. You know, you look at the two goals Dessers had disallowed. There was a save. Dessers should have scored from open play late in the game as well. It could have been a real beating. And Rangers are hoping that doesn't come back to haunt them. But not just this season, for the last four or five or six seasons in Europe, Rangers have punched above their weight.
So it's more than luck for you.
The European thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, season after season in Europe, they've done well.
Marvin, anything to add?
I agree with Roger, not Stephen. I agree. When you go to Europe and perform the way that they have, definitely punching above their weight, you know, coming up against some big teams, and you can make all the excuses you want in terms of, you know, Man United having certain players out and Spurs or whatever else. You have to go up and play against these teams. I know they didn't beat Man United, but to go and compete. And now they find themselves, you know, with a 3-1 lead going into the game against Fenerbahce, you know, a position that, you know, any Scottish team should be proud of. You know, coming up against Jose Mourinho and the players that they do have there and the experience they do have within that team. So, yeah, listen, Rangers have done extremely well in Europe. I don't think any Rangers fan out there would say that domestically they've done well enough, but you can't take away from in Europe. They've been brilliant.
Stephen, can we come and do the show live from your house? Can we come and watch the show, do the show live from your house if Rangers win the Europa League?
Yes, not a problem. You need a submarine, especially under the sea.
I could maybe get you to do the man-by-man ratings in the Scottish Sun for me, Stephen.
Zero rotten, zero lucky, zero... I'd love to read them. Stephen, thank you. It was an experience. Stephen and Bishop Briggs on 01419511025. That last comment about under the sea's got me, because I...
Is it SpongeBob that lives under the sea?
Well, maybe
maybe that's what he's watching. Him and Roger Hannah on his TV.
I don't get it. I'm still thinking, is that a joke?
I don't think he gets it. They punch them over their weight, they're rotten. Like those two things, they don't quite go together.
Anyway, Robert is in Cumbernauld. How are you, Robert?
I'm actually in Falkirk at the minute.
Oh, sorry, Robert. Follow that then. Follow that last call. Come on.
No, are you kidding me, Ian? I'm a comedian.
What made you call tonight?
Hey, I'm sitting outside Falkirk Stadium. My grandson's in there training with one of the under teams. And as I read it, with a Falkirk game promotion this year, they've got 2 years in which they have to tear up their surface and relay it with turf. Now, that'll be a hell of a bad financial burden on them. So Falkirk's best prognosis would be for a season in the Premier League to come back down again and keep their pitch and keep their finances going. And that'll be the same for other teams. I mean, I know it's kind of far away, but I mean, you've got just down the road Stenhouse Muir, who are flying high as well, and they've got an artificial pitch. And then you look at some of the television games that you've seen recently, Ross County, Dundee. You're looking back at the days when Dennis Law played and the pitches that they played on. I mean, if they're going to insist on pitches being perfect, then they're going to have a criteria to the type of pitch that the clubs have in LA, and not just ripping up things that are working at the present moment.
Roger?
Falkirk is a really good pitch. I was there a couple of weeks ago when they drew with Ayr United. I'd actually been at Hamilton a couple of weeks prior to that when they played Ayr United, and Scott Brown described the Hamilton surface as like playing in a car park, and described the Falkirk surface as being excellent, Robert. For me though, and you touched on Stenhouse Muir there, to me Stenhouse Muir are what I would describe as a community club. You know, on a Monday night they'll have the kids in, Tuesday night they'll train in it, they'll have the kids back in again, the team will be in on Thursday, and they use it for the community, and they make a bit of money on it to sustain Stenhouse Muir at the level they play. For me, Falkirk are one of the big 15 clubs in the country. Just look at the crowds they're getting at the top end of the Championship. They're firmly at the weekend. Ayr United a couple of weeks before that. Falkirk would be a valuable addition to the Premiership, but they're a professional club. They're not a community club. And if the rules state that the likes of them, and Kilmarnock are affected by this as well, remember, Robert, Kilmarnock would need to dig up that pitch and put grass back at Rugby Park. For me, if you're playing in the top flight of Scottish football, you need to have a grass pitch.
Even if the grass pitch is as poor as Dingwall, McDermott Park, etc. And I don't mean to be unfair to those clubs, but I think they would admit they're struggling at the moment.
I think they are as well. And I was at St Mirren a week past on Saturday for the Celtic game at tea time, and I've seen the St Mirren surface looking better as well. But I just, I think you're either a professional club or you're a community club. And if you're a professional club, Marvin will tell you, he's played down to Touchton, Burnley, he's played with Orient, he's played right through the leagues there. There are no artificial pitches in the top four divisions of English football. And you don't get into the top four divisions of English football if you've got a synthetic surface. I think we do need to draw a line, and there's always going to be a space for synthetic pitches for community clubs like Steny or Alloa, or I could go through them all for you. If you're playing in the top flight, I think you should have grass.
Marvin, it's become really difficult, because what we always do, people now pick a side on everything. So every debate in the world now is like you just pick a side and very unwilling to meet in the middle. And what I'm seeing a lot now is McDermott Park will go on TV, Dingwall will go on TV, etc. And fans of teams with a plastic pitch say, this is a disgrace. We're getting made to get rid of ours. Surely a good Astro is better than a bad grass. And it is. But there has to be the key, a good Astro. They're not all the same. I'm not going to go and dig out individual clubs. There's no point. But look, turn on your TV, ask people who've played on them. The AstroTurf pitches are not all the same either. So how do we, what is the solution? Because the good ones are good.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's the standard of pitch in terms of the Astro pitches. I get, what we're trying to do in terms of the top flight and saying it have to be all grass pitches, but there's no point having a terrible grass pitch. We saw with Dundee before the St Mirren one. I was there for the game against Hibs, and no real football can be played on that. And it's not down to the grounds person or anything like that. Sometimes it's just down to the weather and what it costs to try and upkeep that pitch. Falkirk's pitch for me is absolutely brilliant in terms of an artificial one. So that's the standard they should have to be at. I get that there's some community clubs. If you're coming into the top flight, we can't. I'll say it. The Kilmarnock pitch for me isn't fit for purpose in the top flight. It looks terrible when you watch it on the TV. It's terrible to play on. It's flat. It's like another one that Scott Brown probably says like playing on the car park. It's not acceptable to be in the top flight. But Falkirk's one, for me, that's totally different. I think that's a proper artificial pitch. And if you ask any player in the top flight right now, would they rather play on that or a bad grass pitch, they'll pick Falkirk's all day long.
That said, I'm sure Kilmarnock would be more than entitled to say, I think you'll find this passes all of our relevant checks, whether that be UEFA-led or whatever it is that people that Kilmarnock have played in Europe on it this season. So
and listen, there might be a vote. You know, there was a vote at the time when Kilmarnock and Livy and Hamilton were all in the top flight and they naturally voted to keep it. Then there was a vote for the pitches to go. You need to give them a little bit of time to get rid of the pitches. They've actually extended that deadline by 12 months to the summer of 2026. So by the time there's a vote in this next year, you know, Kilmarnock will be up, maybe Falkirk will be up. Could Livy be up as well?
Funny you say that. Maybe the vote actually, could go against them again. I noticed an article in the Falkirk Herald today, actually. Tonight, I don't know if this is what made Robert call. I don't think it was. Where Falkirk admitting a dispute resolution process is likely as they continue basically a legal battle with this against the SPFL. So watch this space. Final word to you, Robert.
The argument was that they wanted to train a level pitch would be part of the fun, but I mean that level pitch isn't there if you go to Dingwall because the pitch is terrible. But if you also watch the pictures, you'll see that there's when they've been doing their routines, their warm-up routines, they've burned holes in the park. Now, maybe a better rule would be to say that if to join the SPFL or any of the other top flight leagues, that they have to have separate training facilities where they don't train on the park, apart from occasionally playing on it to get used to the park. But you can see from these clubs that they are training on it. And given our pitches just can't stand up with the weather.
I'm not sure our teams really do train on their grass pitch because I know McDermott Park's got training pitches outside, so does Dingwall. I don't think that's
very
the
rarely
issue.
We train on a grass pitch.
But anyway, thank you to Robert. It is a good topic which will just keep raising its head for sure. That was Robert outside the Falkirk Stadium, so perfectly placed in many ways to make the call. So on your teaser tonight, can you name the seven different goal scorers from last season's Scottish Cup semi-finals? You've got Cyril Dessers and Bojan Majovski.
Matt O'Reilly.
Yes. Marvin, anything from you at all? Or?
Well, I got the first two.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, big man's flying.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely flying.
Callum McGregor?
Nope.
Oh. Back to you, Roger.
Dyson Maida?
No.
Nicholas Coon?
Yes. I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the rest of the answers and kick off in the remaining Scottish Cup quarter-final coming next.
Step around Scotland for Cash for Kids Day.
Over.
Yes, this Cash for Kids Day, we've set ourselves a big challenge. We're going to step around Scotland with our mates at 101 convenience stores. To cover the distance, we're going to walk 16 million steps. And obviously we can't do it alone. That's where you come in. There are plenty of ways to get involved, but one of the easiest is by signing up for the Kilt Walk next month. It's taking place on the 26th and 27th of April. You can sign up to walk anywhere from 3 to 23 miles whilst helping us hit our step target. And if you get in touch with the Cash for Kids team, you can claim your place for free. So whether you take on the Kilt Walk, get your school involved, or simply just increase your own personal step count throughout April, every step counts towards our goal. So we're going to try and hit 16 million steps before Cash for Kids Day on Thursday the 1st of May. We're raising money to make sure children don't go hungry during the school holidays, because right now one in two children in some parts of Glasgow in the West are living below the poverty line. So we need your help. Sign up at Clyde1.com. Let's step together. That's Cash for Kids Day, proudly supported by 101 convenience stores.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final stretch on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here, and you could still technically squeeze in a call on 0141 951 1025. Get them in pronto if you can, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. How are you two faring on this teaser? We're looking for the seven different scorers from last season's Scottish Cup semi-finals. Dessers, Majovski, Coon, O'Reilly.
Graham Shinisco?
Nope.
Duke
is not correct.
Adamida?
No.
Right. Hatate?
This is not great. One Celtic, two Aberdeen remaining. Celtic one will have scored a lot of Scottish Cup goals in his time.
Oh, James Forrest.
James Forrest, okay. Yeah. Two to get. Speaking of the Cup, we've got Livy St Johnstone underway. I'll look at that in a second. But a big shout out to everyone involved. The Col Roberts Scottish Junior Cup semi-final draw took place in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio earlier. And did you know the trophy is older than the FA Cup?
There you go.
Knowledge for you. Stephen Mill hosted. He was the chief operating officer. He was alongside the chief operating officer of the Scottish Junior Football Association, Alex McDowell, and Robert from Col Robert was picking out the balls. So coming out the hat, Johnston Borough against Largs Thistle, and Camelin Juniors or Trinent, because that tie is still to be played, against Drumchapel United. That's got to be Shug's local team. We'll send him to that one. So there
we go. Some big names still playing for those teams.
And Johnston Borough and Drumchapel. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we wish everyone well. Look forward to seeing who reaches the final. So the final semi-final place of the Scottish Cup will be decided between Livy or St Johnstone. Hearts went through first, Aberdeen joined them, so did Celtic. This was the tie that we perhaps felt was the most evenly matched of the
yeah, just watching the ties. Telly, I'm not sure this caught the imagination of the locals, but as you say, it probably is the most evenly matched. Don't be surprised if we see extra time and penalties here tonight.
Marvin, you sticking up for your former team?
Yeah, although Jamie Brennan's got a sore one there. There's a bit of a bad tackle there from Duke McKenna. Look, it could have been a red card, actually. But yeah, listen, it's one of those games. It's a massive one for Livingston financially, and you know, to get back to Hampden. Obviously, we played St Johnstone in the League Cup final during COVID where there was no fans. So, you know, even the fans getting back to Hampden for a semi-final would be huge for them. And like I said, also, you know, financially, it will help them massively. So hopefully they can get the win tonight.
Blessing in disguise, no fans to see you playing wing-back.
No VAR tonight.
We'll never forget.
No, you have to pay
yeah.
for that.
Yeah.
Davey not get a feed.
You
get a stick.
That.
A VAR stick.
He'd probably try. By the way, what a save that is.
Yeah, very
Andy Fisher.
Very close to a Livingston opener, because we've got three of our big city clubs in there, Celtic, Aberdeen and Hearts. Yeah. Roger, obviously everyone knows, notably Rangers are not, so it'd be a real chance for either of these sides to go through, and then the semi-final draw where everyone will just look to avoid Celtic, quite simply. Not much more to it, is there?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. If you are Hearts and Aberdeen, you're beginning to think that there could be a place for you in the final if you can avoid Celtic. Celtic won't, they've already beaten Aberdeen 6-0 in a semi-final this season. They've taken care of Hearts at Hampden in finals a couple of times lately, so Celtic won't bother too much who they get, but I think Aberdeen and Hearts would probably like to take on either each other or the winner of this time.
Okay, before we go, any rogue predictions, any left field shouts to make you seem very clever when the Scotland squad is announced tomorrow? Anything we should look out for?
Well, Steve Clark went and watched a striker by the name of George Hurst last Monday night, scoring for Ipswich Town against Nottingham Forest. He is the son of David Hurst, a former England international centre forward who played for many years with Sheffield Wednesday. He is Sheffield born. He was signed by Brendan Rodgers for Leicester City at one stage. And there's been a bit of toing and froing, but I think with a fair win, George Hurst will be involved.
Think so? And given what the striker situation looks like for Scotland as well.
Well, listen, there's no Lyndon Dykes this time. He got injured playing for Birmingham a couple of weeks ago. Ben Doak, who was having a great season on loan at Middlesbrough from Liverpool, he's out as well. Ryan Christie's situation is a strange one. You know, Andoni Areola spoke at the weekend. He's got a chronic problem. Some days he gets up and he's fine. Other days he gets up and he can't train or play. He played against Tottenham yesterday. Played 70-odd minutes at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Been brilliant this season.
My doubt would be whether he could play 90 minutes twice in 4 days against the Greeks. So I think he might look to add strikers. I think, you know, Che Adams is doing fantastically well for Torino, will be there. I think Tommy Conway will be there. Probably Lauren Shankland, possibly Kevin Nisbet, hopefully George Hurst.
We should be set for some good news because Kieran Tierney will be back in, won't he? Yeah. You would imagine.
Yeah, listen, a lot of players who have missed out in the last two or three camps should be back in.
Nathan Patterson would return.
I think there's a fair chance because Nicky Devlin's injured. Though. Current Scotland international Lewis Ferguson should be in.
Lewis Ferguson back in. Anyway,
that's a touchy subject, Roger.
We are out of time. Give me the rest on this teaser. The seven different goal scorers from last season's Cup semi-finals: Dessers Miovski, Coon O'Reilly, Forrest. Two Aberdeen ones missing.
Oh, Shaden Morris.
Nope.
Did Nicky Devlin score?
No, big striker, still there. He's very difficult to tell apart from Miovski when they were both there. I thought.
Oh, Esther Sokler Esther came Sokler. On and scored, didn't he? Yeah.
Esther Sokler. And the last one's a centre half.
Angus McDonald.
Angus McDonald. Good work, Roger. Thank you, Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley. This time tomorrow, we will know the lineup for the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup. We will know the latest Scotland squad. We will be one day closer to Fenerbahce coming to Glasgow and a day closer to Celtic and Rangers on Sunday. So you won't want to miss that. Make sure you join us at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And in the meantime, thank you for calling, tweeting, listening. We will speak to you tomorrow and enjoy the rest of your Monday.